Maybe I shouldn't share today. Is that a sign?
It's a sign that the Lord's coming
soon. Yeah, the Lord's coming soon, yeah. We're good? Okay. Turn to Colossians. Somebody take a guess what my message is on today. Christmas? No. The what? No. What do we worship today?
Freedom.
Well, that's my message today. So I feel like I really don't need to share because the Lord's brought out in worship just about everything I was going to share. So that's great. Praise the Lord for that. So, Colossians 1, 13 and 14, and a few more verses in Colossians we'll read. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Let me read verse 12 next. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then in Colossians 3, just a few verses, 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we're so thankful this morning that you have freed us from all things. Lord, we praise you for that. Lord, I do pray that your spirit would be upon us now as we share and as we hear the word, as we read it. Lord, I pray that you would minister to each one of our hearts. And may we be drawn ever closer to you, Lord, just relishing and delighting in what you have done. In your name I pray. Amen. The last several months I've been meditating in Colossians, and this verse 13, has really captured my heart because I was thinking about the rescued ones. His journey from being rescued, well, actually before he was rescued, all the way through Colossians to Colossians 3, where he ends up, where the rescued one ends up. I would say a documentary of the rescued ones. You understand what I'm saying. Really, we are all the rescued ones. So it could be a documentary of our condition as well. So, I feel that so much of what God has done for us, not that we take for granted, but we've heard it so often, that, not that we overlook it, I'm probably talking about myself. You know, we often it kind of doesn't mean as much as it used to. And when I considered how he rescued us, it really brought everything else into a greater focus and appreciation upon what our Lord has done. So I've asked to start off with, we're going to consider who holds us captives And I've asked two guys to read a couple verses. We're going to read Galatians 1:4, John. And Prem, would you read Acts 26:18? And I'll read Ephesians 2:2. Go ahead, John.
Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God, and our Father.
Thank you. Prem?
To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith in him.
And I lost the place I was going to read.
Acts
26:18. How come you remembered and I didn't? Acts 26:18. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified in faith in me. Brothers and sisters, the ones who are captive or held captive in a domain of darkness, it's in this present evil world, it's in the domain of Satan, the prince of the power of the air. It's an actual domain, usurped, no doubt, but still a domain. And ones who are held captive are in darkness, they're in great evil, and they are under the power of Satan. It's an evil, dark, malicious domain that they're under. And so often we forget how crushing the domain of darkness can be, how dark it actually is. And I was wondering, Lord, how can I share about ones who are under that domain? And a sister in prayer meeting mentioned Psalm 107. And so let's turn to Psalm 107 to consider the ones who are held captive in their condition. Turn to Psalm 107. We'll begin reading in verse 10 through 20. And as we read, consider the condition of the captive ones. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains. They're in misery. They're chained up. They're bound. Because they rebelled against the word of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Go down to verse 14. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. So the ones held captive are in darkness and they're always under a shadow of death. He broke their bands apart. 16. For he has shattered the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron asunder. These captive ones are held in a fortress under, with, you know, cage all around them. There's no way for them to get out. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, they were afflicted. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord out of their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So they're under destruction, under the power of a malevolent force. And that's the way we were before we were rescued. It's not like these souls could walk out on their own. They were helpless, unable to save themselves. Now, we know the doctrine that, oh, yeah, we know we can't save ourselves, but have forgotten the condition of the lost where they really cannot save themselves. We, dear brothers and sisters, we could not save ourselves. We were under the domain of darkness. And that domain is crushing and blinding and horrific. And as we go on through this this morning, just remember, that's where this soul, that's where we start. Back to Colossians. The word rescue carries this idea. To drag a person out of the jaws of danger. So when he says he rescued us, it's a forceful entrance, and the Lord himself dragged that person, that soul, out from the jaws of danger. Now, I'd never considered it in that light. Have you? That our rescue was a forceful rescue. Now, this is talking about the domain of darkness. You get from this that the domain of darkness does not want to let any soul go out of its control and its authority. And the Father here is the rescuer. In this, we'll go back to it, but the Father is the rescuer, and he comes in, and he with mighty force takes that person out of the jaws of danger. And this morning, as I was meditating on this, I thought of David. Remember, he was taking care of the sheep, and he said, when my lambs were attacked, what did he do to rescue them? He said, I went and I grabbed that lion, and I tore open his mouth and took the lamb out. What a violent way to rescue your lamb, but he had to, because the lamb was in the clutches of a lion. And that, to me, that's such a picture of what our God has done for us. We were being torn by that lion, and he came and opened the mouth of the lion and took us out, rescued us. What a wonderful thing he's done for us. It's a forceful taking out of the mouth of the lion, our rescue. I'll read this. I actually have it here. 1 Samuel 7:35. I went after him and attacked him and rescued it, the lamb, from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his hand, by his beard, and struck him and killed him. Now, what a great story. The Lord rescues us that way. If you go back to Colossians, the one in verse 13 is the Father. The Father rescues us. Now, in Galatians, the same kind of thought, but it's not exactly. In Galatians, it says, blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, no, that's Ephesians, Galatians. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself, speaking of the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us. Did y'all notice the difference in the two verses? So that he might rescue us from this present evil age. Well, then, who rescues us? Of course, the answer is yes. It's not either or. Our Father, well, back to Galatians, the last part of that verse is according to the will of God and Father. According to the will of God, our God and Father. The Father wills, and the Son gave his life so that God could come in and rescue us. He even says in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we all know this, that the basis of our rescue is the blood of the Lord Jesus. But you know, our Father had to come in with great violence and rescue our souls. That's the emphasis here in Colossians. The Lord is our rescuer. But you know, the Lord continues to rescue us. It's not a one-time rescue. Salvation is one time, yes, you are rescued, but he continues to rescue us. The Lord's Prayer, that phrase, but deliver us from evil, that is the same word that's used here for rescue. So we pray to our Father, deliver us from evil, rescue me from evil. That's a continuing prayer that we have before our Father. And this was said today in worship, Romans 7:24. Wretched man that I am, who shall set me free? That's that same word, rescue. 2 Timothy 4:18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. The Lord will rescue me. And 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trial. So the Lord's heart of rescue is not just to take us out from the dominion of Satan, the dominion. He's also wanting to rescue us, as was shared this morning, from ourselves, from our old life, from any type of the enemy trying to assert his authority in your life. We are continually rescued by the Lord. You know, the enemy he's not happy that we are in the kingdom of the beloved Son, and he's always trying to recapture you, as it were. And the Lord is always our rescuer. How many times in your life, brothers and sisters, have you known the rescuing power of the Lord? You know the Lord, you love him, but you've gotten into something that is too strong for you to get out, and you cry out to the Lord, Lord, rescue me. And the Lord has a heart to continue to rescue us. It's not just the one-time thing. Praise the Lord for that. Listen to these words in Psalms. Psalm 6:4. See, the saints of old knew the rescuing power of God. Return, Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your mercy. Psalm 18:19. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord loves us, and he will rescue us because he delights in us. Psalm 34:17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. Now, you young people, I've heard in Sunday school class many times you're in a test and you're a little nervous about it, and you pray to the Lord. There's no trouble too small or too large that the Lord does not want to come in and rescue you. The Lord hears you, and the Lord rescues. I think this is just a wonderful fact, a wonderful experience to know the Lord's rescuing power. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and rescued me from all my fears. And this one I especially like. It took a lot of courage for this guy to write this. Be pleased, Lord, to rescue me. Hurry, Lord, and help me. Lord, it's too slow. You're too slow. I need help. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Help me, rescue me. Psalm 40:13. So praise the Lord. He still is our rescuer. He rescues us. But he not only rescues us. To bring us out and then to leave us alone is not his heart. What does he do next? He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That word transfer is a high-tech word because it has the word meta in it. It's meta something else. Change, to change locations. I didn't know meta meant change, but it's not a good change, I don't think. The idea is to change from one country to another, to take you from here, this country, and take you out of that country and place you into another country. It's to remove from one place to another. To remove from one authority, from the authority of the first country, the first domain, and place you into the authority of the other. And that authority is the Lord Jesus as King of his kingdom. So you've been transferred. You didn't get a work visa to go work, or a temporary visa. It's not a temporary thing. You've been totally transferred to another kingdom. You are under the authority of another king and no longer under the authority of the dominion of darkness. And ever since studying this, there's been several times when I've had to say, Lord, you have rescued me and transferred me to your kingdom and your dominion, and I am not under this force that seems to be coming against my soul. I am out from under any authority of the enemy, and you are too. We all are. He has no right to you because you've been taken out of his domain and you have been put into the kingdom of the beloved Son. Many times in your life, you need to stand on that. We have been praying for some people that it seems that the domain of darkness has come over them somehow, and they're either, and I don't know, I'm weak in this area, but it seems like it shouldn't be. It seems like we've been placed under the domain in the kingdom of the beloved Son, and that has no more authority over me. Now, I know that, brothers and sisters, you're through your flesh and that kind of thing, he can gain control, but our stance should be, Lord, I'm in your control, under your domain, and when it's almost like the hand of hell comes out and tries to grab you and pull you back into its domain, you know you have a right in the Lord Jesus to say no. And I think you almost have to be charismatic about it. Pentecostal and say, no, in the name of Jesus, you have no control over me. The blood of Jesus is over me, and you have no right to me. You have no right to my soul. So I've been practicing that and just have really enjoyed standing in these simple facts. These are things that we all know, but brothers, to stand in it in prayer and faith is a wonderful thing. So removed are we from one kingdom to the next that we are now strangers and pilgrims to the old. The present world, one of these verses that we read talked of the evil of the present world. We are now aliens and strangers. It's quite interesting, in Ephesians, it talks about being aliens and strangers to the kingdom of God or to Christ. When you're in this domain, you're aliens to that domain. When you're in the domain of Christ, you're an alien to the other. So you're almost always a stranger, no matter what. But we are aliens and strangers. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. Well, the blessed verse, excuse me, in Philippians 3:20. Can someone quote that first part for me?
But our citizenship is in heaven.
That's it. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, brothers and sisters, we know this. but our citizenship is in heaven. We belong to heaven. We belong to the kingdom of God. So praise the Lord. We are aliens and strangers. Really? Are you a stranger? Does the world consider you a stranger? A strange person? If they don't, Roger, I point to myself. Are you a strange person? Well, yes, but not in the way you're thinking. Am I a stranger to the world? Do they consider me a stranger, like from another place? And how would they know that other than the life of Christ is so evident, the kingdom of light shines through me so much that they say, you are a stranger. You're from another place. Where are you from? That kind of idea. Sometimes I think we get too comfortable in a domain of darkness in the world that we just become comfortable. The other thing that's I have to struggle with, because I love politics, I love that kind of thing, but the things of this world can start grabbing your heart and pulling you down and under. And instead of it being, you should be like a stranger to it, it becomes, you're too familiar with it somehow. You understand what I'm saying? You can almost sense when your heart is going away from the land of the Lord, the citizenship in heaven, and you're becoming a citizen of the earth again, and the Lord does not want that. We are citizens of heaven. So may the Holy Spirit really help all of us to walk as strangers, as pilgrims in this land, and not become tied to it. I mean, most of us work. I watched football last night. The Bears, they were so rough and tough on the Green Bay. But thanks, Jerry. But you can get captured and captivated once again by the world, and God does not want it. We're citizens of heaven. Okay, let's go on. We have been transferred to the kingdom of the beloved Son. What a contrast between the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, and the kingdom of the beloved Son. Now, the Holy Spirit could have said in this section, you're transferred to a heavenly kingdom, which would be, we already know that. Or you're transferred into the kingdom of the Son. But he said, you're transferred to the kingdom of the beloved Son. The Son upon whom his love rests. The Son whom he takes great delight in. And it's almost as if the Father, after seating the Lord Jesus at his right hand and exalting him to his right hand and sitting him at Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high and giving the kingdom to his Son and taking delight in his Son's ruling in his kingdom, he now looks at the rescued one who was in prison, no way to get out. He takes him out of prison, and then he puts him in to the kingdom of his beloved Son. It's like he's saying to you and I want you to enter in, not only to a new authority, but even to a greater extent, into the relationship I have with my Son, whom I love so much. I'm bringing you into that. So it's a kingdom of love, and we're brought into that kingdom of love. We're brought into that expression of love the Father has for the Son and the Father has for you and I. It's so wonderful. The contrast is stark, isn't it? Darkness and light, life and death, love and hate. But I think it's so wonderful that we're brought into the kingdom of his beloved son. Okay, let's look. I want you to consider now, we're going to leave that verse and we're going to consider not only has this rescued one been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of the beloved Son, but he's been put into Christ himself. He's been put into the church. Verses 15 through 20, the Holy Spirit through Paul just breaks out in great worship to who the Son is. And in that wonderful section, which is too much for me to even share on, there's this one verse in 18, and he is also head of the body, the church. So the Lord Jesus is declared as the king of his kingdom and also head of his body, the church. And we know from the rest of Colossians up to chapter 3 that we are placed into Christ and Christ is placed into us. So think of it. This rescued one has been placed into the kingdom of the beloved Son, but even more, he's been brought and placed into Christ himself, into the King himself. And that's why in chapter 3, verse 1, we see that if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Now, how could that captive one even have thoughts toward the Lord? But the God has done such a wonderful work that he has placed us in his Son, raised us up with him, that we can now seek the things above, that we can seek the things of heaven, have our direction of life pointed toward heaven. And I was just considering, how has the Lord done this? How has he placed this one into himself? And how could I explain it? Well, I can't, except I'm just going to share three verses with you, and may the Holy Spirit help us. Look at Colossians 3:3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hidden with Christ. This Greek word is called crypto. Crypto. That's my second high-tech word today. All right? Meta, we're changed from one place to another, and crypto means hidden or concealed. And we are hidden, concealed in Christ. Now, I think, guess crypto means it's a hidden currency or something. Nobody can come at you or something. But we are hid in Christ. Romans 6:5, and turn to Romans 6:5. I was so glad we went to Romans this morning. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. This word united carries the idea of being planted together. It means connected and joined together in union with Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But of his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. This carries the idea in the Greek of being grafted into, connected, joined together, united. So the wonderful fact is that we are united to Christ, hidden in Christ, joined with him to such a degree that when he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he rose again, we raised. When he ascended to the throne, we were ascended, and when he was seated at the throne, we were seated. I can't explain it, but it's true. In the spirit, we are united with Christ to such a degree that we just united him with all of his work. And you all know this. This is nothing nothing new. But look at the wonderful verses in Ephesians, the end of chapter 1. Verse 20. Talking about the great power that works within us. He said, which he wrought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Well, that's the Father speaking of raising up the Lord and seating the Lord. Now, Ephesians 2, 6. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Our unity with the Lord in this is so great that we were raised and seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We have wonderful songs about it. So, again, you're rescued. You're in prison. The Father comes in, tears the prison apart to get you out. He places you in the kingdom of his beloved Son under a new authority. Then he places you in his Son so that you, a wretched, poor soul, now are seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ. See the amazing difference from where you start to where you end up? And it's certainly not the end, because one day we're going to be with him forever and ever. But this so struck me. The journey in which the Lord has put us on. We know all about it, but it is an amazing, astounding thing that God has done. But not only is this rescued soul seated with Christ, he's also placed in the church. And in the church, he is going to thrive. In the church, he is going to... The Lord's going to deal with him and make him, give him the life of the Lord to such a degree that he is going to become someone that the Lord can be pleased with. And so I want us to look down at verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3. This is the kind of church, the kind of body the Lord wants us to be, so that these souls who have been rescued can come and flourish in. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of, and there's a list of things. John, I want you to read another verse for me. Would you look up Romans 5:5? Thank you for letting me pick on you. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
So the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. All of these things have to be done by the Holy Spirit and shed abroad in our lives and in the church, because of what the Lord Jesus has done. I believe it's Titus 2:10 that says, adorn the doctrine of Christ. You ever seen that phrase, adorn the doctrine of Christ? Adorn is used in Peter when he was talking to the ladies of the church to don't adorn yourselves with beautiful things outside, adorn yourself with the inside. But that adorning means to beautify. To adorn, it means to put a garment on to make yourself pretty, to make yourself beautiful. Now, men don't do that, thank goodness, but women do. That's not the point. The point is adorning. And then one commentator said, these things are put off and put on through here are you taking garments off and putting a garment on. So in verse 12, we're going to read a few verses. These things are the adornment of the heart that we put on that are the beauty of Christ that beautify the church. And this is, to some extent, the bride making herself ready. So then, those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. The church, all of us, should have a heart of compassion that we put on. We've seen today the great compassion of the Lord to rescue us. Do we have a heart, the same heart as our Lord Jesus, to rescue, as our Heavenly Father to rescue? We should put on a heart of kindness. God's house should be full of kindness, one to another. And to anyone who enters, we should have hearts of kindness. Put on a heart of humility. To be humble before each other. All of us humble before the Lord. No arrogant soul here. All of us humble. No dominant personalities. No rushing over each other. Hearts of humility. Hearts of gentleness. Gentleness. Boy, most of these things I'm saying, Lord, if I don't put these on, it ain't happening. Patience. Put on a heart of patience. These are beauties of the Lord that He wants us to have. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Even as I was sharing, meditating on this, I would say, man, Lord, that person's really... And He would bring this up. I would be complaining in my spirit, and you know, just not my spirit, my soul, my flesh. I'd be complaining about something, about some person. And the Lord really rebuked me. Put on all of these things and bear with one another and forgive. Forgive to the point that that person who bugs you, you have so much complaint about, they never know about it because you have already forgiven them. And then beyond all of these, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. So, brothers and sisters, we should all, in every assembly of the Lord, if these attributes, if these things of Christ are evident, that soul who was rescued is going to thrive, is going to grow, is going to flourish. And that's the way the Lord wants it, I think. So let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much that you have rescued me. You've rescued all of us. Lord, you've placed us in your Son's kingdom. You've placed us in your Son himself. You've raised us up and seated us with him, and you placed us in the church, a place where we can see the life of Christ evident and flowing amongst us, Lord. You have done a great thing for us. Lord, may we not take for granted the wonderful things you've done. Lord, even as we praised and worshiped you, Lord, you freed us from everything, and Lord, you've given us everything. Lord, I cannot help but think of that wonderful verse in Ephesians that says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Surely, Lord, you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing. You blessed us in our precious Lord Jesus, and we bless you and thank you for it. In your name I pray. Amen.